translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Pranava Omkar is the Mahavakya, Mahamantra in the Vedas. Shankaracharya's followers cover this to stress without authority the mantra Tattvam Asi. Purport. The Mayavadi philosophers stress the statements Tattvam Asi, Soham, etc. But they do not stress the real Maha Mantra, Pranava Omkar. Therefore, because they misrepresent Vedic knowledge, they are the greatest offenders to the lotus feet of the Lord. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu clearly says, Mayavade, Mayavadi Krishna Aparadhi. Mayavadi philosophers are the greatest offenders to Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna declares, Tanaham dishata kruran, samsareshu naradhaman, shipam yajashram ashubham, ashurishveva yonishu. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are lowest among mankind, I perpetually cast into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. Bhagavad Gita 16:19. Life in demoniac species awaits the Mayavadi philosophers after death, because they are envious of Krishna. When Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 9:34, Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru, engage your mind in always thinking of me, become my devotee, offer obeisances to me and worship me. One demoniac scholar says that it is not Krishna to whom one must surrender. This scholar is already suffering in this life, and he will have to suffer again in his next life if he does not complete his prescribed suffering. One should be very careful not to be envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the next verse, therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu clearly states the purpose of the Vedas. Om agyanati mirandhasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha nama om vishnu padaya krishna prasthaya bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. So with your permission, I'll try to share a few thoughts on this verse. And in this chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada continues his relentless attack on the Mayavad philosophy. We were reading this morning, after Mangalarti, Srila Prabhupada's calendar. And if I remember correctly, he wrote to Garga Muni Prabhu that if one saves humanity from... If one saves a person from impersonal understanding, then he saves him from the greatest calamity, and this is the greatest service to humanity. To save someone from an impersonal understanding. So Srila Prabhupada, when it came to topics of atheism or impersonalism, was uncompromising. And he would often use extremely strong language. Atheists, what they're trying to do is they believe God is man. So we have God, and then we have man. And what the atheists try to do is they try to make God man. So everyone's mortal. There's no one up there. There's no one greater. There's no divine. Pull everyone down and we're all mortal. So that's what the atheists try to do. They try to pull God down. And the impersonalists, they're on the other side. We have man and God. What they're trying to do is take everyone up. Everyone is God. You are God. I am God. And in this way, both of them actually are forms of atheism. because they're denying the relationship between the living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, Prabhupada said, it's not that God is man or man is God. God is God. And man is man. Natrevaham jatunasham natvam nene janadipa nacheva na bhavishyama sarvivayam ataparam. And the distinction never goes. So Prabhupada, when it came to defeating impersonal philosophy, he was uncompromising. And he would use very, very strong language to defeat impersonal philosophers. Prabhupada once said in a lecture, he said, I do not discriminate. I criticize all the impersonalists equally. You know, it said that the only place where there is nothing is in between the two ears of an impersonalist. So like this, Prabhupada would speak very, very strongly. When it came to atheism and defeating evolution, Prabhupada would speak so strongly. One time they came to Prabhupada and they said, Prabhupada, they said that we have come from apes. Prabhupada said, where is the question of coming from apes? I say, you are still apes. And they said, no, Prabhupada, they're getting the theory together. There's just a few missing links. Prabhupada said, the only missing link is my foot in their face. So strong. So strong Prabhupada was, uncompromising. So one may say, how is it that someone can speak so strongly? Here Prabhupada in this purport, he is saying, one demoniac scholar says that it is not to Krishna to whom one must surrender. And Prabhupada says, this demoniac scholar is suffering now and he will suffer in the future. So I have met many people over the years who have said that, why does Prabhupada speak so strongly? What is so bad about impersonalism that it must be presented in such a way? These are meant to be scholarly books, but it sounds like the author is making personal attacks on people. It's interesting, Srila Prabhupada's books are not just scholarly books. They're not just academic translations. When Prabhupada wrote his purports, he said, these purports are my personal ecstasies. And therefore, when Srila Prabhupada wrote, he didn't just write from the head, but he wrote from the heart. And therefore, sometimes his heart would come out. And he was unable to tolerate impersonal philosophy. And why is impersonal philosophy so bad? Not only because philosophically it puts the living entity into so many difficulties, not only because the philosophy of impersonalism cheats us of the highest happiness of a relationship with God, but impersonal philosophy was very difficult for Srila Prabhupada to digest, because Prabhupada was a Mahabhagavat and he was experiencing Krishna's presence at all times. Because Srila Prabhupada was always experiencing Krishna, it was intolerable for him to hear someone say Krishna doesn't exist. Speak for myself, if someone says Krishna doesn't exist, then you kind of roll up your sleeves and you're ready to have a philosophical debate. It's still very much on the philosophical platform. But when someone said that to Prabhupada that Krishna didn't exist, because Prabhupada was experiencing Krishna at every moment, it wasn't just a philosophical debate, it was a personal attack. So this is the position of a Mahabhagavat, pure devotee, always seeing Krishna in all situations. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yo mam pashyati sarvatra, sarvam cha mai pashyati, tasya aham na pranashyami, sacha me na pranashyati. For one who sees me everywhere and who sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is that person ever lost to me. So the pure devotee is seeing Krishna at all times. And therefore defeating impersonalism wasn't just a philosophical debate, but it was a personal matter. And therefore Prabhupada often speaks very strongly. So this is very nice to meditate on, that The pure devotee is seeing Krishna everywhere. Some people say, can you show me God? Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita confirms many times that you can see Him face to face very easily. But one simply has to give themselves, give their heart, and then they can see Krishna very easily. So Prabhupada, he was always seeing Krishna. Prabhupada, he said many times, I am living in Vrindavan. He said, I'm traveling all over the world. I'm going to New York, to London, to Tokyo, to so many cities. But actually, I'm living in Vrindavan all the time. Prabhupada said, Mayapur is my place of worship. Bombay is my office. But Vrindavan is my home. So the pure devotee is always living in Vrindavan. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in one purport, it's mentioned, Srila Prabhupada writes that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. Vrindavanam parityaja padameikam nagacchati. Krishna never takes one step out of Vrindavan. But Prabhupada then writes, he says, but when Krishna has some business to do, when he has some demons to kill, then it seems as though he leaves Vrindavan. But actually still he's present in Vrindavan. And then Srila Prabhupada said, just like Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, the pure devotee never leaves Vrindavan. And although sometimes the pure devotee may need to leave Vrindavan to do Krishna's business of spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world, still he remains always in Vrindavan. So now Kartik is starting, and I thought this is a very wonderful meditation of always living in Vrindavan. We are not residents of Watford. We are not residents of London. Not residents of the UK. Not even residents of the material world. We're residents of Vrindavan. That's the ultimate realization. And that's the ultimate space of consciousness that a devotee needs to remain in. In Srila Rupa Goswami's Upadeshamrita, he gives many, many different instructions, the nectar of all instructions. And of all these instructions that Rupa Goswami gives, he says one instruction is the Upadesha Sar. In the nectar of instruction, one instruction is said to be the Upadesha Sar, or the essence of all instructions. And what is that instruction that Rupa Goswami says is the essence? Tannama rupa charitadi sukirtananu smrityo kramena rasana manasi niyojya tistan braje tadanuragi jananugami kalam nayad akhilam ityupadesha saram. He says the upadesha sar, the essence of all instructions, is what? Tistan braje, that one should live in Vrindavan. Tadanuragi jananugami, and one should execute their devotional service in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. So this is an extremely deep and powerful realization and meditation that one can have, to always be living in Vrindavan. So today, what I wanted to do for the next 15 minutes, we don't have so long, but is to just give or discuss some meditations we can have of what is Vrindavan consciousness. What does it mean to live in Vrindavan? Because for most of us, it's very difficult. Although we would all like to be in Vrindavan, it's very difficult sometimes due to responsibilities. So how can we live in Vrindavan even though living here outside of Bom Vrindavan? So Jiva Goswami, he says, there's no reason to lament if you cannot visit Vrindavan, because Vrindavan is ultimately a state of consciousness. So what is that state of consciousness that makes one Vrindavan consciousness? The first thing is the residents of Vrindavan are very mindful. In the material world now, mindfulness is a big thing. Right? Everyone's talking about it. Be mindful. Right? A devotee is very mindful of Krishna. The mind is full of Krishna. This is Vrindavan consciousness, to be mindful of Krishna at all times. Krishna plays his flute at Vamshivat. Shriman rasa rasarambhi vamshivatatatastita karshan venu svaner gopi gopinathaya shriyeshtanaha. And every lunchtime, Krishna under the Vamshivat tree plays his flute. And as soon as he plays his flute, the gopis, who are ever thinking of Krishna, who cannot get Krishna out of their mind, they drop everything. Some of them are cooking, some of them are taking care of their children, some of them are doing household chores, some of them are churning. Whatever it is, right in the middle of their activities, they leave everything and they run to Krishna. Because they are mindful of Krishna at all times. Even when Krishna left Vrindavan, the gopis couldn't stop thinking of Krishna. When Krishna left Vrindavan, then he sent Uddhav to Vrindavan and he said, give the gopis a message. Tell them that if they simply remember my activities, then in this way the separation will be minimized. So Uddhav, he went to Vrindavan and he saw the gopis and he gave them the message, just think of Krishna. And the gopis said, just think of Krishna? You're mad. The problem is not thinking about Krishna. The problem is we can't stop thinking about Krishna. That's Vrindavan consciousness. To be always mindful of Krishna. Rupa Goswami says, just as the minds of young girls are naturally attracted to young boys, and just as the minds of young boys are naturally attracted to young girls, may my mind be similarly attracted to Krishna. So therefore, to be mindful of Krishna, to fill the mind with thoughts of Krishna, this is the first aspect of Vrindavan consciousness. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says, yena tena prakarena mana Krishna niveshayet. Somehow or other, this way or that way, by hook or by crook, somehow or other, fix your mind on Krishna. And therefore we do so many things in our devotional life to try to fix the mind on Krishna. You know, we read the books, we chant the holy name, and in so many ways we try to re-engineer our environment so that we're always thinking of Krishna. In Vrindavan they have to hide Krishna's paraphernalia. Because as soon as any of the residents of Vrindavan see any of Krishna's paraphernalia, their mind just goes spinning. And they cannot function normally. And therefore they have to pack away all of Krishna's paraphernalia. In the material world, we have to put Krishna's pictures everywhere. It's the complete opposite. Somehow or other, put Krishna's pictures everywhere. Try to remember Krishna. The rickshaw drivers in India, they just pull out the speedometer, pull out the petrol gauge, and stick pictures of Krishna there. Right? Driving in India is dangerous, so you want to be seeing Krishna if anything happens. Somehow or other, keep the mind on Krishna. So this is the first element of living in Vrindavan, to try to keep our mind on Krishna, mindful. If we assess the residents of Vrindavan, then we see the second element or major element of Vrindavan consciousness that is coming is a mood of being grateful. We know that Sudama was very, very poor and that his wife told him that, why don't you go to Krishna? Because Krishna is very rich and Krishna, maybe he can help us out in our poverty. So Sudama wasn't so inclined, but on the order of his wife, he said, okay, I'll go. And he took with him 4 palmfuls of chipped rice, as we know. So as he reached Dwarka, he went through all the gates. You know, and then finally he came into the palace where Rukmini was fanning Krishna. And as soon as Krishna saw Sudama, he immediately got up. He embraced him. He sat Sudama down and he began to offer arati to him. And then after offering arati to Sudama, they began to discuss their childhood pastimes. And like this, Sudama and Krishna were just engaged in so many wonderful interactions, loving exchanges. And then, of course, we know Krishna said, "What have you brought for me?" And Sudama was very reluctant. And then finally, being petitioned by Krishna again and again, Krishna forcibly snatched the rice from him and relished that offering. Like this, Sudama and Krishna spent some time together in great happiness, and then Sudama left. And on his way home, he realized, oh my God, the purpose that I went to see Krishna for, to ask him for some things, I forgot to ask him. But he wasn't disappointed, because he was satisfied. He was grateful. He was grateful that I had the opportunity to see Krishna, I had the opportunity to speak to Krishna, and therefore he had no expectation. And therefore, even though he didn't fully fulfill his purpose, he was grateful. And then what happened? He went back, and then he found that his house had been transformed into a palace. He didn't have the expectation that that would happen. He was grateful for whatever he had received from Krishna. But he received those benedictions anyway. Vrindavan consciousness means a heart of gratitude. In the material world, our expectations are so high, but the reality is so low. And therefore, there's all this frustration in life. The gap between our high expectations and the reality of what really happens. Spiritual life is the complete opposite. The expectations of a pure devotee are very low, but the reality is much higher. And therefore, a pure devotee is happy at every stage, because a pure devotee has a heart of gratitude. If one is grateful, then you're already appreciative that you've received so many things. And therefore you don't expect. But one who is not grateful feels that they haven't received much. And because they haven't received much, they expect so much. Therefore, to meditate on everything that Krishna has done for us and the wonderful position that Krishna has put us in is the meditation to develop a grateful heart. In Sanskrit, gratitude, the word for gratitude in Sanskrit is kritagya. Krita means done and gya means to know. So the Sanskrit word for gratitude means to literally know what has been done for you. I once asked Keshav Bharati Maharaj, how can we become grateful? How can we develop gratitude in our lives? And he said, I do something regularly which helps me to become grateful. He says, I sit down sometimes, and in a quiet place I just sit down and I remember that just 5,000 years ago Krishna appeared. Just 500 years ago Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. And just 50 years ago Srila Prabhupada was on this planet. He said to me, if I was to pick myself up and place myself at a point in universal history at which I'd want to be, I don't think I'd choose any other point than this point. Incredible. And he said, that, when I just sit down and I think about that, then I just feel so grateful. So, a grateful heart is Vrindavan consciousness. Vrindavan consciousness is also about being helpful. The amazing service attitude of the residents of Vrindavan shines out above anything else. We know that once Krishna was at home and a fruit vendor, as we know in Vrindavan, you have the fruit vendors with their like rickety contraptions which they have the fruits on. And she came to Krishna's home and knocked on the door, and Nanda Maharaj saw, and Krishna was immediately attracted to taking some of those fruits or having some of those fruits. So Krishna, with his small hands, grabbed hold of as much grains as he could in his hand and ran towards the fruit vendor. But Krishna, obviously hobbling along, most of the grains fell out of his hand. And by the time Krishna reached the fruit vendor, most of the grains had fallen. And there were a few grains left in Krishna's hand. Krishna gave those few grains to the fruit vendor. And what did she do in return? She filled up Krishna, she filled up his hands with so many fruits he could hardly hold it. Just giving without consideration of what I've been given. That natural desire to just give. And like this, she gave. Incredible service attitude. And then turned round, and what happened? Her whole trolley had filled up with jewels. So, this attitude of service, of wanting to do something for others, wanting to do something for Krishna, being helpful, this is Vrindavan consciousness. Some people, when you ask them to do something, like me, they don't do it. Do some service. No, thank you. Then a little higher than that, do some service. Okay, I'll do it. Then a little higher than that is one may say, there's a need, therefore I'll do the service. But even higher than that is when one looks for opportunities to serve. On the lowest level, one is not serving. On a higher level, one is serving because they're asked. On a higher level, one is serving because there's a need. But on an even higher level than that, one is just looking for an opportunity to serve. One is actively searching. What can I do for Krishna? Therefore, we know in the spiritual world, there's no dirt, but they're still sweeping. Looking for opportunities to serve. So this service and this giving of oneself to Krishna, this is Vrindavan consciousness. We are often very calculative in how we serve Krishna. One for Krishna, two for me. Two for Krishna, one for me. Something for Krishna, but still holding back. But actually the service we do for Krishna and the giving of our hearts to Krishna, this is actually the ultimate wealth. This will give us the greatest return. Srila Prabhupada, he came to America with 40 rupees. The thing is, when Prabhupada arrived in America with 40 rupees, he couldn't actually do anything with 40 rupees. Because if you go to a foreign country, then you need to change the currency. And then you need to have the local currency to utilize that wealth. Similarly, we come into this material world with some currency, some assets. Bhagavatam says, Praner Arther Diya Vacha. We come into this world with certain assets. We have our life force, we have our wealth, we have our intelligence, we have our words. This is the currency we come into this world with. But if we want to enter the spiritual world, then this currency doesn't do anything. It doesn't mean anything in the spiritual world. Only when these assets are used to serve Krishna and are transformed into devotional service, then devotional service is the currency which counts in the spiritual world. So one may be very rich, one may be very intelligent, one may have so many abilities, but unless that is utilized in devotional service for Krishna, it doesn't count in the spiritual realm. So therefore, Vrindavan consciousness is about being helpful. It's about having a service attitude. Vrindavan consciousness is also about being faithful. When Krishna and the cowherd boys one day had a picnic, and then the cowherd boys saw a huge serpent, 8 miles long. The lower jaw was on the earth, on the ground. And it seemed as though the upper jaw was touching the heavenly planets. And they saw this amazing sight. And they thought, my God, it would be nice to go and explore what this is all about. So like this, they went into the mouth of Agasura. And as they were going into the mouth of Agasura, some of them had some doubts. I'm not sure this is such a good idea. There may be some danger here. But then the immediate thing that came to their mind was, anyway, if there's some danger, Krishna is there. Krishna will look after it. Krishna, He will protect us. That faith the cowherd boys had. So similarly, this faith is something that we have to develop if we want to ultimately live in Vrindavan consciousness. Isn't it? It said, Rakshishyati iti Vishvasho. This is surrender. The firm conviction that Krishna will protect. So, in Sanskrit we have two words. One is chintan and one is chinta. So chintan means meditation and faith in Krishna. And chinta means worry or anxiety. So it's said that if one cultivates chintan, meditation and faith in Krishna, then they don't have any chinta. They don't have any worries or anxiety. Because they've left it all to Krishna. Now I've surrendered to you. Now I'm meditating on you. Now you deal with it. But if one avoids meditation on Krishna, if one avoids to place their faith in Krishna, then all the chinta they have to take on their own head. Therefore, the best recourse in life, if you want to be peaceful, is to have faith in Krishna and be happy that Krishna will deal with everything. Therefore, Krishna says in the Gita, Bhoktaram Yagyata Pasham, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, Suridam Sarvabhutanam, Gnatvamam Shantim Rachati. If one wants shanti, if one wants peace, then just realize two things. Number one, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. Krishna is in charge of everything. And Suridam Sarvabhutanam. And He's the best friend. So if Krishna is in charge of everything, and He's simultaneously the best friend of every living entity, then I can't go wrong. Krishna will definitely protect me. Krishna will definitely look after me. So Vrindavan consciousness means to be faithful. And finally, Vrindavan consciousness means to be joyful. Because the spiritual world is a place of happiness, isn't it? Srila Prabhupada used to tell the story of how the British politician Gladstone, he went all around India and he came back, and when he met his politician friends, then they asked him, like, what did you learn from India? And he said, I saw many things and I met many people, but one thing I learned is that Krishna is definitely God. He said, really? Like, how did you come to that conclusion? So he said, whenever I saw any picture or painting of any other god, they were doing something. Either they were meditating, or they were performing some austerity, or they were engaged in some aspect of universal affairs. But when I saw Krishna, when I saw paintings and pictures of Krishna, he was just having a good time. And then I realized, this must be the man on the top. Because the man on the top doesn't have any work to do. Right? Just having a good time. Yeah. Rasa Raj. Experiencing all the mellows and relationships and enjoying. So the spiritual world is such a joyful place. Of course we learn in Brahma Samhita, in the spiritual world every word is a song. Every step is a dance. Every act is an act of love. All water is nectar. And all trees fulfill all desires. Such a wonderful place. So if we want to be in Vrindavan consciousness, then we should also practice spiritual life in a joyful way. And Krishna says it is a joyful process. Susukham kartum avyayam. That spiritual life is joyfully performed like that. So, I have to finish at 8:45, I'm just conscious of time. So I just quickly skimmed over a few things here. Priyojan's coming. I'm finishing, 1 minute. Just to summarize what we talked about today, here Prabhupada is speaking very strongly about Mayavad philosophy. One may think, how is it that a saintly person can speak so strongly? Prabhupada was speaking so strongly against Mayavad because he was personally perceiving Krishna's presence at all times. Prabhupada said, I'm not living in New York or London, I'm always living in Vrindavan. And this is the instruction of Rupa Goswami, that we must live in Vrindavan. And what does it mean to live in Vrindavan? It means to have a consciousness which is mindful, thoughts always of Krishna. It means to have a consciousness which is grateful, to always see what Krishna has given me instead of thinking what Krishna hasn't given me. Vrindavan consciousness means to have a consciousness which is helpful, to have a service attitude and to try to extend oneself to bring happiness to others. Vrindavan consciousness is to be faithful, to understand that Krishna is the protector and that Krishna will take care of everything. And finally, Vrindavan consciousness means to be joyful, because spiritual life is full of joy. So this month is Kartik, and a very wonderful month in which we can make so much spiritual advancement. So along with the small vows that we may take, we can also try to develop this overall consciousness of being mindful, grateful, helpful, faithful and joyful in Krishna consciousness. So we don't have time for any discussion, but thank you for listening, and thank you for your attention. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki, Shri Prabhupada ki.